Now, it gives me great pleasure to introduce a 10-minute speaker, Ty.
Hi, my name's Ty, an alcoholic.
Hey, Ty.
Well, I told myself I wasn't gonna cuss or anything, but I'm not exactly addressing Congress, am I? So, fuck it. I was born here in Santa Maria to teenage alcoholic drug addicts. Some of my earliest memories are chaos, being in cop cars, when my mother's being arrested for DUI, seeing her get beat up by the wonderful men she chose to bring into our lives. You know, at a very young age, I was sent to live with my aunt and my uncle, and they raised me. And my aunt is probably one of the greatest women I've ever known in my life. My real mother is how I see her. Her husband at the time wasn't that fond of me, but, you know, and that kind of screwed me up. But I really felt, you know, despite all the love from my aunt and everything that she did for me, I felt like a stranger in my own family, like I didn't belong. I was very aware that these were not my parents and that I wasn't really wanted by one party. And I remember, I think I was like 8 or 9, and my aunt, she told me, you know, you can call me mom if you want to. And just very bluntly and plainly, I said, no, you're not my mom. And I can't imagine what that must have felt like for her. And but anyway, I was a pretty good kid. I did some stupid shit. But I didn't really start drinking until after high school. And I didn't plan to start drinking. I wasn't going to be like my parents. I was never going to drink. I was never going to do drugs. I never really did drugs. They're not really part of my story, so you guys can relax. I went over to a friend's house, and he broke out a bottle of Jack Daniels, and we started playing blackjack, and if you lost, you took a shot. And that was the first shot of Jack Daniels that I took. I felt it. And what it was like, I shared this in a meeting the other day, what it was like, you know, the part in Wizard of Oz when Dorothy opens up the door and everything's in living color and it's bright and wonderful and everything was exciting and new and everything was better. And from there, if it was fun, alcohol made it more fun. Everything was better with booze. Go to the movies drunk, play mini golf drunk. I moved in with some people and we just partied. And it was a great time. And then, you know, it started to be an everyday thing. And I met this girl. And, well, here, you guys remember MySpace? So, I posted something on MySpace, and something about this party I was having. And this girl messaged me and said, oh, I wish I was there. And I said, well, come over. And, you know, we got wasted. And next thing you know, you know, we were in a relationship, and it was okay. We broke up, and my drinking sort of took off from there. But we were still seeing each other, you know, at night, if you know what I mean, even though we weren't exactly together. And I think I was 21 years old. I was on a date with another girl in at Universal Studios, and I got a call from her, and she told me that she was pregnant. And that was sort of put the whole kibosh on the date thing. And that was a long 3-hour drive home with this other girl. And, you know, and my drinking at that point, it was not as bad as it would get, but I wasn't exactly doing great. And, you know, I decided to marry this girl because things were going so well. And she had the kid. And I had everything that a lot of people count as blessings. You know, I had a house, I had a wife, I had a child, cars, and these things were, I was resentful of these things. They got in the way of what I wanted to do, and what I wanted to do was drink. The obsession completely took over. I couldn't stop, and in about 6 months after the baby was born, it was revealed to me that this child was not mine, and the marriage fell apart from there. And I was devastated. You know, I was a father, and then that was taken away from me the way I saw it. At the same time, I was relieved because now I don't have any responsibilities. I can do what I want to do, and I did. And it got real dark from there. You know, I would go out to bars every once in a while, but mostly I was a isolationist drinker. Shared this with me the other day. If you've ever seen the movie The Aviator with Leonardo DiCaprio, where he goes kind of crazy and locks himself in a room and watches movies in his underwear and pees in bottles and was just nuts, that's exactly what I did. It was just this whirlpool of depression and darkness and hopelessness. I didn't know how bad I was. But I spent a lot of time avoiding eye contact with myself in the mirror on those few times I ventured out of my bedroom. My family was, you know, they loved me to death. They put up with me. I didn't know how much they knew. But after I got sober, the first time I realized how close they were to stop to not enabling me anymore and kicking me out. And I'm grateful for that. But what happened was, I decided to venture out, and I went to a party with a couple of friends and this amateur porn star, which is not important to the story, but it was just so surreal. Sorry. Anyway, we decided we were going to go to Elmer's. It was like 1 o'clock in the morning, and our drunken logic was I was the only one who didn't have a DUI, so I should drive. And I got pulled over. And apparently, you know, the cop had been following me for a while, and I was swerving, and I went to jail. And, you know, after reading the police report, seeing my mugshot, yeah, I realized that, you know, something needed to change. And I thought I had it going on. But anyway, you know, my first experience with Alcoholics Anonymous came when my family decided, they handed me a meeting schedule, and they said, pick a meeting, we're going to take you there. And, you know, I looked through the schedule, and it was kind of overwhelming. I was afraid to go out in public, so I saw a meeting that said, Never Too Young. And there was a Never Too Young meeting at the Golden Group, where it used to be, at the Alano Club. And a 50-50 chance, either this is, you know, a young person's meeting, or it's for old people. And they were ironically saying, oh, you're never too young to get sober. And luckily, it was a young person's meeting. And that meeting, you know, it saved my life. I remember the first time I shared, I said, my name's Ty, I'm an alcoholic. I only said it because everyone else did. And then the next thing I said was the most honest thing I'd ever said up to that point was, I'm looking for a change. And I went to that meeting once a week for about 5 weeks until someone suggested that I should maybe go to some more meetings, and I did. And, you know, it just sort of branched out from there. You know, and from there, Alcoholics Anonymous pulled me out of that that hopelessness, that darkness. I became someone I didn't recognize, that I could look at myself in the mirror and not hate who I saw. And, you know, sometimes when I'm driving, I think of how that felt. And I want to cry because my life isn't like that anymore. I wish I could tell you that I've stayed sober all, you know, ever since my first meeting, and that's not my story. I have a lot of compassion for relapsers. I know how it feels. You know, I've done a lot of stupid shit in my life. Fist fighting Christmas trees, cross-dressing and going to Walmart, running from the cops. But without a doubt, you know, the dumbest thing that I've ever done is to come into Alcoholics Anonymous, get a taste of recovery and life and hope, and then drink again. And that is probably the most painful thing to experience. And so if that's what, I know a lot of people do that, and I know what that feels like, and I know how hard it is to come back. And the only reason I've kept coming back is because they tell me to keep coming back, and the only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. I've never lost a desire to stop drinking. I just lost a desire to stay stopped several times. But luckily, the doors have always been open to me, and luckily, I've made it back. I just found out yesterday that one of my good friends, he died. We got sober together, we relapsed together, we had some great times, and we had a falling out a couple years ago over $20 and a girl. And I haven't talked to him since then, and now I realize how fucking petty that was. And you know, they say some people have to die so that others can live. And I wish that wasn't the case. That seems kind of selfish to me to say it out loud, but that's just the way it is. And I've gone 10.5 minutes. Basically, I'm really happy to be here. Thanks, Sean, for asking me to do a 10-minute pitch. And I'm glad that I'm sober today, and I hope I can stay sober till tomorrow. So thank you.